The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Present your case to our experts by calling in between 12:30 and 1 on Sundays. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now your host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. For those of you streaming online at focusonfemales.com, we are coming to you from sunny Tampa, Florida, where the weather is great, but of course, with that strong sun comes a risk of skin cancer, which will be the topic of today's health clinic. But before we start, for our new listeners, this radio healthcare clinic is brought to you by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive, dynamic, community-based health safety net with immediate impact to save lives and protect families. We make you a lay medical expert on your individual medical problems using two interactive educational programs. This radio healthcare clinic and the annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium. Together, these programs will enable you to better partner with your existing physician, leading to more effective office visits, faster results, and reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. Now, this Saturday, just 6 days from today, is our fourth annual symposium. That's March 21st. Our symposium is now the largest women's health symposium in the country. We have 21 different medical topics. It is free, and it'll be held at the Tampa Convention Center. We are close to reaching our goal of 2,000 participants. That's for this Saturday. Now, grab some friends and join us for a great day. You will learn something that will change your life and have fun at the same time. We have free fitness classes, chair massages, and much more. To ensure your seat in the seminar of your choice, register today at focusonfemales.com or call 813-514-4515. That's 813-514-4515. And at this point, we'll start today's healthcare clinic on skin cancer. I have the pleasure and joy to have with me a leading expert on skin cancer. Her name is Dr. Mary Len. Dr. Mary Len grew up in Southern California and received her Bachelor of Science degree from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. She completed her medical education at the Duke University School of Medicine, where she received her Doctor of Medicine degree. After completing her dermatology residency at the University of Michigan Medical Center, and a melanoma fellowship at the University of Michigan Multidisciplinary Melanoma Clinic, Dr. Len moved to Florida in 1996. Dr. Mary Lynn is the Assistant Professor of Dermatology and Cutaneous Surgery at the University of South Florida and is a staff dermatologist in the Division of Cutaneous Oncology at the H. Lee Moffitt Cancer Center. Dr. Lynn is also the Chief of Dermatology at the James A. Haley Veterans Hospital. She specializes in cutaneous oncology, including melanoma and other skin cancers. Dr. Lynn is a member of numerous professional dermatologic societies. And Mary, as I said in the earlier intro, it's great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Steve.
So when we think about skin cancer, what would you say, Mary, are the most common skin cancers that you see in practice?
The most common skin cancers are these three: basal cell carcinoma, squamous cell carcinoma, and melanoma. Luckily, melanoma is not as common as the first two. In fact, the most common skin cancer of that three is basal cell cancer.
And how do you tell when patients come to you and ask you, gee, Dr. Lynn, if I've got a root for one of these, which is the best one to have? How do you respond?
Well, if you had to choose one, then I would probably choose to have basal cell carcinoma, because basal cell carcinoma is the least invasive of the three, and the cure rate is very high, 99%, once it's removed. And it grows very slowly compared to the other two. Now, that's not to say that there are very rare instances where basal cell carcinoma can become invasive as well.
And typically the basal cell does not metastasize. Is that correct?
Typically it does not, although if you let something grow and invade for long enough, it may affect vital structures.
Okay. And which, of course, is the worst actor amongst these three?
The worst type of skin cancer is melanoma. And I would hope that most people in the public would know what the signs of melanoma are. Our Academy of Dermatology has tried to publicize the four dangerous signs of melanoma. We call it them the ABCDs of melanoma. A meaning asymmetry. If a lesion has started to become asymmetrical and not your typical round-looking mole.
So let's go a little deeper into that. So by asymmetry, normally a mole is, with the visible naked eye, is completely round. Is that
correct?
True?
Yes, okay. That's correct. For most typical moles are round and either flat or slightly raised.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So asymmetry means there may be an indentation in this round mole.
Correct. Okay. Or it may, even though if it's flat, it may look like there's a notch at one of the borders. Mm-hmm. And if you fold it in half, if it doesn't completely align, then that's a worrisome sign.
Okay. So in your mind, if you felt folded in half,
correct,
it should completely overlap each other.
Absolutely.
Half.
Absolutely. We've had some moles that are triangular shaped or hourglass shaped, and they can be perfectly benign because they're symmetrical.
Uh-huh. So that's mm-hmm. that's a very nice analogy to in your mind, folded in half, it should basically cover itself.
Yes, yes, okay. Yes.
Okay, so what would be the next sign to look for?
The next sign to look for is B, standing for border irregularity. Now, usually the edge of the mole should be very smooth, and if it's not round, at least it should be somewhat, unbroken without any squiggles on the side or scallops on the side. If it looks like there's a lot of activity going on around the edge instead of just a smooth line, then that is another worrisome sign.
Okay. So you could it be symmetrical and mm-hmm. still have this irregular border, which would be a concern?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And if it were symmetrical but yet still has slight notching or irregular scalloping, I would still consider biopsying it.
Okay. So basically, what we're saying here is have a very low index of suspicion of problems.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think the risk of a biopsy are far outweighed by the benefits gained by having a biopsy of a suspicious lesion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've gone over asymmetry, and you've talked about border irregularity. What would C be?
C would be color variation. Now, most moles are brown. They can be tan. They can be flesh color. They can be pink or they can be red. The key is, Steve, if it looks homogeneous, if there's some variation in the color or if there's several colors in the landscape of the lesion that you're looking at, then that would be an indication that something is abnormal, and I would get that biopsied.
Okay. So if there's like a speckling,
Correct.
Then within a otherwise completely round, symmetrical mole or spot with regular borders, if there's little like darker brown spots inside that otherwise normal-looking mole, that's still a potential concern.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we'll see kind of like like on a dart, you can see like a bullseye kind of pattern. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they turn out to be perfectly benign, but, you know, one can't tell with the naked eye, so I always recommend biopsying those lesions just to make sure.
Good. And D?
D is diameter, and usually a good, measurement for people in the public would be if it's bigger than a pencil tip eraser or bigger than 6 millimeters, then I would get that looked at and biopsied. Most moles, which are benign, usually don't grow to be that size.
Okay. Now, we're spending a good amount of time on the ABCDs of melanoma. Why is that? Of course, we all know melanoma can be very aggressive, but what do we mean by saying melanoma is aggressive?
Well, melanoma sometimes is deemed the silent killer because it's not painful, and that's one of the dangers of skin cancer. It's not symptomatic, although I would give you a pearl that if any mole starts to itch, that has been shown to be, number one, the earliest harbinger of malignant transformation to melanoma. So it could be just an irritated mole, but if something starts to itch, I always recommend that my patients come in to get it evaluated. And because it is a silent killer, I think that we as dermatologists do a lot to educate the public to catch these signs early on. It's fairly easy because it's not something that requires a CT scan or multiple x-rays. The patient can visualize this lesion and follow their moles every month. Mm-hmm. And of course, we recommend an annual skin exam by a dermatologist to perform to routinely look for any other lesions that may be abnormal. But in the long run, the patients are themselves the best experts because they know what the mole looks like every month, and they can detect the earliest signs of any color change, any size change, or any symptoms such as itching.
Okay. And there's some other questions I wanted to ask you, but before we go, how fast can a melanoma take someone's life?
The melanoma, it really depends on how deep it has invaded. We measure the depth of melanoma by the Brezzo depth, and we divide them into thin melanomas, intermediate melanomas, and thick melanomas.
The most aggressive melanomas, how fast can it metastasize and take someone's life?
It is. The thick melanomas have been known to be fatal. I've had patients succumb to metastasis within just a month, a couple months.
I only bring this up because I want to really put a spotlight on the essential, the crucial nature of following Dr. Len's advice for looking at your moles. This is fatal, but you may not have realized just how quickly a bad disease, a bad melanoma, can take your life. We will take a quick break, come back, answer your questions, and talk much, much more on skin cancer. 289-1860. Anywhere else outside of Hillsboro is 877-969-8600. Be right back.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation. P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Are you one of the many folks who suffer from dry eye? Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but dry eye is something you'll have to live with or nothing can be done for you? Well, don't stand for that answer anymore just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems. Go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you'll be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with the doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain and redness. Plus, begin targeted therapy right away. The Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, 3001 Swan Avenue in Tampa. Find them online at drmaskin.com. Haven't you waited long enough?
Lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back on Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. I'm Steve Maskin, and we're talking about skin cancer with my guest expert, Dr. Mary Len. And on the line is Norma from Apollo Beach. Norma, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thank you.
And you were at our event last year, our Focus on Females symposium last year.
Yes, I was, and I certainly became educated on what to do when you have something suspicious on your skin from that seminar.
Tell us about your story.
Well, I had a mole on my neck that I wasn't sure if it was changing or not. I thought it might be, but I wasn't sure. And I showed it to my adult kids, son and the daughter-in-law. Both of them are internal medicine physicians. One of them said, oh, it's nothing to worry about. And the other one said, if you're worried, go see a dermatologist. Well, I didn't want to spend the money to see a dermatologist because I hadn't met my deductible. And I preferred what my son said, which was, it's nothing to worry about. But then I attended the seminar, and I saw that there are so many different pictures of what moles can look like when they go bad, that there isn't one particular kind, and mine certainly didn't look like anything I was seeing. But the message over and over and over and over was, if you have something suspicious, it's only a dermatologist who can really diagnose it. And if you are worried that if you don't get it biopsied, the potential risk is death. So I attended the seminar, and it motivated me to go see a dermatologist. I had a biopsy done and got a phone call back about 2 weeks later saying that that mole was melanoma and had to be surgically removed. So naturally, I went in the next day and had it removed.
So, and how are you doing now?
Oh, I'm doing great. It was, we caught it nice and early. It was stage one, so it came out clean.
Great.
And it's gone.
Would you like to say, you have with me today is Dr. Mary Len, who was the speaker at last year's skin cancer seminar. Would you have any words for Dr. Len?
Well, thank you, Dr. Len, because you motivated me to save my life. I really appreciate you showing the slides and saying over and over and over again that if you have something suspicious, you must see a dermatologist. You can't just ignore it. I really appreciate that message.
Well, thank you very much, Norma. You're quite welcome. I can't tell you how heartwarming and gratifying it is to hear that us dermatologists are spreading the message and that people are listening and that, you know, to save a life is very, very gratifying. So I'm glad that you're doing well, and I'm glad that it was caught. I can't stress to you how important it is that it really is necessary to see a dermatologist, not just a general practitioner, because the dermatologists are trained to see these abnormal lesions and to look for any early signs. So I'm glad to hear your story had a very happy ending.
Well, it did, and on my six-month checkup, because I now go every 6 months for a checkup to the dermatologist to make sure everything is okay, my husband accompanied me, and he had a red dot on his forehead that hadn't gone away for a couple of months, and showed it to the dermatologist while I was the one being examined. And the dermatologist said, hey, that's a precancerous squamous. It's got to come off.
That's
and treated my husband with some kind of acid that treated him.
Well, this
so, I mean, it helped my husband, too. Me being there helped my husband.
Yeah. Spread the word.
Well, this is a perfect example of how, number one, let's back up a little bit. Having saved a life is this a multiplier effect, and the impact one person has on so many other people, relatives, friends, coworkers, neighbors. And in addition to that, you're having been educated and spread the word to your spouse, and now they have the benefit of having a really advanced medical care too, early diagnosis and treatment. So this is the kind of health safety net that we're trying to accomplish, and I think certainly by virtue of your example and so many other examples out there, I think we're successful, but there's so much more to do. So, you know, it's great to have your story being shared with all the other listeners that are out there, and we thank you for sharing it with us.
Oh, thank you for giving me the motivation to do something about it. And I think that's what I really don't understand is I had read over and over again that if you think you have something changing on your skin, you should get it checked out. But I didn't act on it.
Well, you see how easy it is. But I think there's an important key here, how easy it is to talk yourself out of something. Whether it be for a copay or whether because you just don't want to know bad news. And this happens all throughout medicine, Norma. All throughout medicine, you're not alone. It is the tendency to convince ourselves that there's nothing wrong. And all we're looking for, the individual is looking for confirmation that it's okay to not have it evaluated. It's okay to put it off. It's okay to go without, and which may or may not be the right answer. And again, only that really the subspecialist knows. That subspecialist has been trained. Ultimately, when in doubt, follow through with a subspecialist, someone who you have faith and trust in, to make sure you're following the right course. Don't talk yourself out. Your intrinsic, your gut, follow your gut sometimes. Would you like, Mary, would you like to add anything to that?
Well, yes, I'd like to segue upon your previous message about when in doubt. We have a saying in dermatology, when in doubt, cut it out. So we always biopsy things that are anywhere near suspicious.
Much easier to deal with that than potential missing a lethal disease.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, I certainly appreciate attending the Focus on Female and what it did for me.
You're joining us this year, Norma?
Pardon me?
Are you joining us this year?
Absolutely. Wouldn't miss it.
Great. We'll see you on
Saturday. I'm bringing girlfriends for my development.
Outstanding. Outstanding. The more the merrier. Thank you, Norma.
You're very welcome.
Okay. We'll see you Saturday.
Okay. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. On the line is Susan from Tampa. Susan, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thank you.
We are going to a quick break. We'll be right back, and we'll tackle Susan's question on skin cancer. Back in a flash.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments. Your choice for intelligent talk. Bennett, Gallagher, Prager, Medved, Hewitt. Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
With SRN News, I am Michael Harrington in Washington. A White House economic aide tells NBC the economy is fundamentally sound. Still, Christina Romer says she agrees with investment mogul Warren Buffett, who says the country's in the midst of an economic war, his word, to describe the nation's financial crisis. An advisor says President Barack Obama is opposed to taxing health insurance, but the head of his Council of Economic Advisors says the option is not totally off the table at this point. OPEC oil ministers say they'll continue current output levels but try to end overproduction by some cartel members. Today's decision means there'll be no cutbacks from December production levels. And authorities in Miami say a man shot four people to death at a family gathering early today, then went home and killed himself. A witness says he saw people fleeing the party and heard as many as two dozen shots fired. Police say the gunman may have been upset because his wife had left him. This is SRN News.
Does your credit card debt have you down? Are you afraid to answer the phone for fear of another threatening collections call? Is your marriage, your property, and your future at stake? If bankruptcy...
Your host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. Dr. Maskin manages these dry eye disorders using innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has been successfully managing difficult dry eye cases for over 18 years and is board certified, fellowship trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and the American Academy of Ophthalmology. He's been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2008 and as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America. We hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please, visit drmaskin.com. And if you've not found relief for your painful red, dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back, Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We're talking about skin cancer, and on the line is Susan from Tampa. Susan, you're on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Good morning.
Good morning. And I understand you've been to Dr. Lynn before and have a question.
Yeah, I know of Dr. Lynn, and I just really wanted to get some expert advice because I have very fair skin, and I love to spend time out in the sun on the weekends, and I'm so confused about all these sunscreens out there. Do I use a 15? Do I use 30, 45? And I just wanted to get some good advice on what I should do, because it seems like I hear all kinds of different things.
You've come to the right place.
good.
Mary.
Well, we get this question quite a lot, Susan. I'm glad that you brought this to the attention of our public out there. Living in sunny Florida, I think, requires a little bit more diligence, if you will, than living in the northern climates, only because it's sunny here pretty much year-round. Now, if you were from the north, I would recommend wearing SPF 30. But since you're living in sunny Florida, or if you were in California, I would recommend SPF 50 and above. Now, they've come out with SPF as high as 100 recently. So if you want to go higher, that would be fine. I think that we have to take into account the fact that a lot of people don't or don't have the opportunity to apply sunscreens every 2 hours as recommended. So for that matter, I think that it would behoove us to be more conservative and to wear a higher SPF in the beginning. And that being said, I really like the creams and the lotions more than the sprays. I think the sprays serve a purpose, but I don't think that they can guarantee even coverage, which is what is crucial. If you leave just one spot of skin untreated, that is a potential spot for a skin cancer later on. I do feel that it's all right to use a spray to reapply sunscreen, as long as you have a first base coat of either a cream or lotion in the morning. And it's also important to note that SPF is important, but in addition, it's important to get a sunscreen that has UVA and UVB protection, because we know that UVB rays burn, but UVA rays cause aging, premature wrinkling, and brown spots. And if you get enough UVA rays, they will also cause a risk of skin cancer later on down the line.
Oh, okay. And even with an SPF of 50, I should reapply?
Yes.
Several times?
Yes. Every 2 hours is what's recommended. And
okay.
Amount to apply is what people also ask about as well. I would say at least 2 to 3 tablespoons to cover the whole face and body, which is equivalent to, a whiskey shot glass. And a lot of people skimp on the amount. If you don't apply enough, it's almost as the equivalent if you didn't apply any at all. And also, another point I want to make is that SPF is not additive. I have some female patients who come to me and they say, well, you know, Dr. Lynn, I'm wearing a sunscreen on top of my makeup, and my makeup is 15 and I put on an 8. So does that make it 23? And I say no, because the highest sunscreen on your face now is 15. So we have to go by the single application of what was there to begin with. That is not additive.
Okay.
And
that's a good,
also,
great point.
Yeah. And also, people think that there is no difference between SPF 15 and SPF 30. Or SPF 30 between SPF versus SPF 45. Well, there is, and I can tell you, if you measure the scientific data for each, you know, for each application, there it's only slightly higher protective coverage. But if you multiply that by how many applications you're applying during your whole lifetime, if you can have that extra protective coverage, even just a small percent that accumulates during your lifetime, that in itself is worth a lot. And so I find that if you're going to take the time to apply a cream on your face or on your body, why not apply the one with the highest SPF?
So, so therefore, you're recommending the SPF 50?
I recommend a minimum SPF
minimum.
50. Yes, yes.
And what's the downside? Why would people not use a higher SPF?
Some people like that. And I tell them they can tan through the sunscreens, but some people like the perpetually bronzed look. And, you know, we have very good self-tanners now. We have makeup that can augment that bronze look if you wish. But I myself have tanned even wearing SPF at 85. So I think a lot needs to be done to educate patients about that, especially the younger patients who like that sun-kissed look. Also, a lot of people don't like the chalky white residue of some of the older sunscreens. If you remember back in the days when lifeguards had the white
paste. The copper tone?
Yes, yes, on their noses. Now the sunscreen lotions have come a long way. The companies have made it much more cosmetically elegant. They're lightweight, they're fast absorbing, and they have a matte finish, and they don't leave that chalky white residue. They're not very greasy, so women can apply it with ease under makeup. And they're also waterproof, sweatproof, rubproof, and they don't sting your eyes. So,
can you name a couple that you like?
Absolutely. And I want to say, first off, I have no financial interest in any of these companies, and there's no conflict of interest. But I myself prefer the Neutrogena Ultra Sheer Dry Touch. Is absolutely fabulous. I recommend this to all my patients, friends, family alike. I myself have used the SPF 85, mm-hmm. but I've also using, they just came out with their SPF 100. So now I'm using that now on my face and body. And it's very cosmetically elegant, and it stays on my face throughout the whole day. If I don't have time to apply it every 2 hours during workday, which I think is the same situation as a lot of working women, and then it stays under my makeup, and it provides a very matte finish, which is very well tolerated, and it doesn't have a chalky residue, so I like that.
Mary, is it important to wash it off at the end of the day, or will it be a problem if it stays on, the sunscreen stays on you for 24, 48 hours?
I don't have any problem with it staying on the whole day. Yes.
There's no potential, downside.
As far as it was said, there's been no toxic side effect from that applying it on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what's the best way, if you're by yourself, what's the best way to cover your back with it?
Well, if you're by yourself, well, they do have self-applicators sold in stores, which consists of a sponge attached to a long stick. And you can just apply the lotion on the pad and just like a back scratcher and just apply it yourself to hard-to-reach places on the upper back.
Right. Very good.
Or you can find a very friendly lifeguard.
Excellent points. Susan, any follow-up on questions on that?
I have one other question. My husband he goes golfing all the time, and he puts his sunscreen on, and he reapplies it all the time. But it worries me that he has that sunscreen in that golf bag for the whole season, and it sits out in the garage when he's not golfing, and it gets hot, and then he's out in the sun. Does that matter with the sunscreens if they get that hot out there?
Can they degenerate the effectiveness?
That's an excellent question, Susan. Yes, in fact, there are concerns now because if you leave it perpetually at high temperatures, some of the preservatives and the vehicles that help stabilize the active sun protective ingredients can actually decompose. And so I would recommend maybe putting it in a cooler pack or a ice cooler or a chiller if you know that you're going to be outdoors all day. And just leave one at work. Leave one, in an area where it's easy to find. Either kept at room temperature. And that's what I would recommend.
That's great.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, we all do need sunscreen on a cloudy day. Isn't that correct?
That's absolutely correct. That's one of the myths. People think that because it's cloudy or it's rainy, they're not getting any UV rays. That it's been shown that UVA will penetrate through, even despite it being a cloudy day, and it will penetrate through glass and plastic, so you're not immune even when you're driving in your car to and from work. So I recommend people wear sunscreens even if they're just commuting to and from work.
Mm-hmm. And of course, if we're at the beach, we get not just direct sun rays from the sun, but also reflected off the water and the sand and so forth, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And there are now sun protective clothing manufacturers that are now promoting clothing that has fabric that's been protected with these sun protective chemicals that will last up to 100 washes or so.
Wow.
So I would recommend wearing that for people who don't like wearing sunscreens all the time.
Okay, so let's see if I understand this then. You wear sun protective clothing. Can ultraviolet light penetrate through some fabric?
Through the sun protective clothing that's specially manufactured, no. And also, I think it's necessary for people to spend a lot of money buying these special fabrics if they can't afford it. In this day and age, if you want to, I think that dark clothing provides exceptional coverage. Certain fabrics provide better coverage than others. For example, studies have shown that dark denim provides better coverage than, for example, a thin cotton fabric. And also polyester, believe it or not, is useful in that it will provide very good UV coverage.
So ultraviolet light can penetrate through cotton fabric, like
T-shirt. Absolutely. And what's been shown is that if the fabric becomes wet, then it's very vulnerable to UV light penetration.
I mean, I'm thinking about all the times and hours at the beach, at the pool, and kids are wearing these white T-shirts going into the pool, getting wet, and obviously they're getting sun exposure. They're not being protected despite the fact that they're wearing a shirt.
Yes, it's a very common misconception that because there's fabric on your skin that there is absolute protection from the sun, but it's not true. And so I would recommend after getting wet to immediately change from the wet clothing into something dry. And they have very good products now. For example, a lot of children, they, and again, I have no financial conflict of interest in this company, but Rash Guard is very popular.
How do you spell that?
Rash, R-A-S-H, and then mm-hmm. Guard, G-U-A-R-D. Mm-hmm. It's a very popular brand for kids and adults alike that they can wear at the beach. It's lightweight, it's breathable fabric, and it protects from the sun.
So when you send out your kids off to school, and of course they all have some gym class or outdoor class of activities, exercise, number one, either you put should you put sunscreen on them before they go out to school every day, even though they wear, a shirt and slacks?
Yes, I would recommend applying sunscreen to the face and all the sun-exposed areas of the body. And I would send a bottle to school with your child so that they can reapply it themselves. If kids are too young to use creams, you can send them off with a sun stick. That's also very easy to apply.
But how about clearly the sun-exposed areas, but how about the areas that are otherwise covered by the shirt, the chest, the back? I mean, should those areas be receive application of sunscreen too?
Oh, that's an excellent question. Yes, I would also apply it there as well, because if they're going to be out playing recess or during PE, yes, you're still getting sun. So, yes, I would do that as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. On the line is Angela from Tampa. Angela, you're on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Hi, I have two questions for the doctor. The first one is, I have a sister who has been diagnosed with melanoma of the vulva area and has been treated and is doing quite well. But the other thing she had is she had basal cell and had a very large lesion removed from her back. A father also who has had precancers. Is there a hereditary component in developing these skin cancers?
That's an excellent question, Angela. In fact, there is a proven risk of familial risk for melanoma. If there's a family history of melanoma, then the person will have a 7 times higher risk of developing melanoma himself or herself. So that has been well documented. Also, if you have a family history of having multiple abnormal moles, that will also increase your risk greatly for developing melanoma. Now, for basal cell cancer and for squamous cell cancer, that link hasn't quite been established. But basal cell cancers go for a long time being undetected because a lot of people think it's just a shiny flesh-colored bump or a shiny pink bump. And a lot of patients say it looks like a pimple they've had that just hasn't really gone away over several years. So anything that you find that is abnormal, I would recommend getting a biopsied.
Okay, now my second question was about sunscreen. Two of my children have allergies to mosquitoes, so it is hard to find when they go to school, and obviously it's warm most of the year, they have to have a sunscreen and they have to have a something to protect them from the mosquitoes. And the only thing I've found is something that Avon makes, and it does not have DEET in it.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's
it's
skin
only
so
a 30.
Soft.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. It's skin so soft. Mm-hmm. But it's only a 30, and my children are fair somewhat. So do you recommend anything else that can protect you from getting bit by mosquitoes and sunscreen, or can you apply one mm-hmm. and then the other?
Like apply a 50 and then over that put
Avon. I was going to recommend layering it. So, Angela, I would apply the Skin So Soft. Also, Off makes one that has botanicals. That's also very good for children who cannot tolerate DEET. And then on top of that, I would apply, if your children are sensitive to sunscreens, I have a very good brand that I recommend to all my skin-sensitive patients. It's called Vani Cream, V-A-N-I-C-R-E-A-M. And they make a sunscreen as high as SPF 60.
Okay.
There are no dyes, there's no fragrances, there's no PABA. You can buy it over the counter. If it's not on the shelf, just ask your pharmacist to order it for you. Again, I have no financial interest in this company, but I find that a lot of my patients who have burning and stinging with a lot mm-hmm. of the sunscreens, they tolerate this very, very well.
Now, are you saying to put that on first or the bug first?
I would put the sunscreen last. The very last thing you put on should be the sunscreen.
So the Avon first.
Avon first.
But I have a question. You said earlier that you can't, what protection would the child be getting then?
The 60, right?
The 60. It's not additive, so it would be 60 would be the highest. And you're applying the Skin So Soft because of the,
mosquitoes, the
anti-repellent.
Okay, so even though there's a 30 in that one, the 60 is going to be the one that is...
Correct.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
Unfortunately, it won't be a 90.
No,
I wish
okay.
It could be. 60
better than 30.
And
okay.
Again, it's interesting, Angela. You brought up a point about your sisters having melanoma in the vulva area. I want to stress to you that, and to the public, that melanoma doesn't always occur in sun-exposed areas. There is a certain type, superficial spreading melanoma variant, that will occur in areas where the sun never shines. I've seen it in the vulvar, vaginal area, in the retina, in the nasal mucosa, in the mouth. So, again, protecting yourself from the sun is good. But, again, some people, especially if they have that family risk of melanoma, they will still harbor a risk for developing it.
One quick point. She discovered this. Actually, she ironically was working for a GYN at the time, and she had just had her third child. And I know that the hormones do increase throughout pregnancy, and that's when she noticed it.
Absolutely.
It was after the delivery of her third child.
That's definitely very true. And we found, unfortunately, that women who develop melanoma during pregnancy have a worse prognosis because these melanomas tend to grow faster.
Mm-hmm. So
there's
then.
a hormonal yeah. component to it. And okay. Yes, I agree that it was very lucky for your sister to catch it when she did. So I'm glad that she's doing well. You said it was stage one, correct?
She had it about, I'd say, 15 years ago. So
oh, that's wonderful.
She's doing great.
Great, great, good. And it's good that you're so conscientious about it now and spreading the word to your kids.
Right.
I think a lot of sun habits are formed when you're young. And if you teach your kids correctly, then they will continue to apply sunscreens, diligently.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much. It's
oh, you're welcome.
Informative.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Angela.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Are we going to a quick break here? All right. Quick break. We'll be right back with more on skin cancer on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Confused about dry eye? Not getting answers as to why your eyes are so red and painful and your blurry vision that gets a little better with a good blink? Now you can learn all about dry eye, the causes, treatments, and home remedies from the number one best-selling consumer book on dry eye problems, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome by Dr. Stephen Maskin. Published by Yale University Press, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome has been selected as a 2008 Best Book of the Year by the Association of American University Presses and a 2007 Best Consumer Health Book by Library Journal. Find answers for your dry eye. Go to your bookstore and pick up a copy of Reversing Dry Eye. You'll be glad you did.
Focus on Females.
Yeah,
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back. We are talking about skin cancer with Dr. Mary Len. And Mary, tell me, what other safety tips, what other sun safety tips are helpful aside from sunscreen?
Sure. I think it's very important to wear a hat, and not just any hat. A lot of people think wearing a small visor or baseball cap is enough, but you really need to have a hat with a wide brim. I recommend a hat like a Panama hat with at least a 4-inch brim, because you want to cover and shade your ears and your nose that jut out. So mm-hmm. I think you need to have one that's provides enough coverage, and also to try to stay in the shade during the most intense hours of the day, which is between 10 a.m. till 4 p.m.
Okay. Yeah. And can babies use sunscreen?
We don't recommend sunscreen use for infants less than 6 months old.
Okay.
But after that, certainly.
So just the idea is just keep your, you know, if they're less than 6 months, just keep them out of the sun.
Yes, and to use just protective physical shade.
Shading, mm-hmm. Okay, good. Now, at what age do you recommend an individual without any history of skin cancer, let's say there's no family history of skin cancer, at what age should they be evaluated for, like top to bottom, for the signs of funny moles or suspicious moles?
I would recommend that everybody, no matter how young they are, even we have children coming in for annual skin exams. Mm. I think the risk is magnified if they have a family risk of melanoma. Mm-hmm. If they have a family history of melanoma or a family history of atypical or abnormal moles, then certainly the younger, the better. And we recommend annual skin exams. We also have infants coming in with a strong family history of melanoma being brought in or referred by their pediatrician for us to evaluate yearly. And I would recommend a yearly exam. Now, if you have a family history of melanoma or you yourself have had skin cancer, then I would increase the visits to every 6 months.
And if you've not had any history of melanoma in the family?
If there's no family history of melanoma, then annual exams should suffice.
Starting at what age?
If anybody has had moles, even just one mole or whatnot, if the patient's parents feel concerned, then we certainly don't put any threshold. So we accept children and infants, really, for annual exams.
Now, Mary, we're just about out of time. Is there any last messages that you'd like to get out to the public about skin cancer that we haven't touched on, or maybe something you want to reiterate?
Well, I think the most important thing to remember is to wear sunscreens even on a cloudy day, and to also reapply the sunscreens every 2 hours if possible. And a lot of people also don't realize that one needs to apply sunscreens well enough in advance before their outdoor activity. So you need to apply it at least 30 minutes ahead of time.
Excellent. I want to thank Dr. Mary Len for her expertise today on skin cancer. This coming Saturday is our big Women's Health Symposium at the Tampa Convention Center. Get there by 9 a.m. It's free. And next Sunday on the radio program is lupus. We're tackling lupus next Sunday with Dr. Joel Silverfield. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. This is Dr. Steve Maskin signing off.
Focus on females.
This is the content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk.
There's so many jobs unfinished that I need to attend.
Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week, we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Present your case to our experts by calling in between 12:30 and 1 on Sundays. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now your host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. For those of you streaming online at focusonfemales.com, we are coming to you from sunny Tampa, Florida, where the weather is great. But of course, with that strong sun comes a risk of skin cancer, which will be the topic of today's health clinic. But before we start, for our new listeners, this radio healthcare clinic is brought to you by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive, dynamic, community-based health safety net with immediate impact to save lives and protect families. We make you a lay medical expert on your individual medical problems using two interactive educational programs. This radio healthcare clinic and the annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium. Together, these programs will enable you to better partner with your existing physician, leading to more effective office visits, faster results, and reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. Now, this Saturday, just 6 days from today, is our fourth annual symposium. That's March 21st. Our symposium is now the largest women's health symposium in the country. We have 21 different medical topics. It is free, and it will be held at the Tampa Convention Center. We are close to reaching our goal of 2,000 participants. That's for this Saturday. Now, grab some friends and join us for a great day. You will learn something that will change your life and have fun at the same time. We have free fitness classes, chair massages, and much more. To ensure your seat in the seminar of your choice, register today at focusonfemales.com or call 813-514-4515. That's 813-514-4515. And at this point, we'll start today's healthcare clinic on skin cancer. I have the pleasure and joy to have with me a leading expert on skin cancer. Her name is Dr. Mary Len. Dr. Mary Len grew up in Southern California and received her Bachelor of Science degree from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. She completed her medical education at the Duke University School of Medicine, where she received her Doctor of Medicine degree. After completing her dermatology residency at the University of Michigan Medical Center and a melanoma fellowship at the University of Michigan Multidisciplinary Melanoma Clinic, Dr. Len moved to Florida in 1996. Dr. Mary Len is the Assistant Professor of Dermatology and Cutaneous Surgery at the University of South Florida and is a staff dermatologist in the Division of Cutaneous Oncology at the H. Lee Moffitt Cancer Center. Dr. Len is also the Chief of Dermatology at the James A. Haley Veterans Hospital. She specializes in cutaneous oncology, including melanoma and other skin cancers. Dr. Len is a member of numerous professional dermatologic societies. And Mary, as I said in the earlier intro, it's great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Steve.
So when we think about skin cancer, what would you say, Mary, are the most common skin cancers that that you see in practice?
The most common skin cancers are these three: basal cell carcinoma, squamous cell carcinoma, and melanoma. Luckily, melanoma is not as common as the first two. In fact, the most common skin cancer of that three is basal cell cancer.
And how do you tell when patients come to you and ask you, gee, Dr. Len, if I've got a root for one of these, which is the best one to have? How do you respond?
Well, if you had to choose one, then I would probably choose to have basal cell carcinoma, because basal cell carcinoma is the least invasive of the three. and the cure rate is very high, 99%, once it's removed. And it grows very slowly compared to the other two. Now, that's not to say that there are very rare instances where basal cell carcinoma can become invasive as well.
And typically the basal cell does not metastasize. Is that correct?
Typically it does not. Although if you let something grow and invade for long enough, it may affect vital structures.
Okay. And which, of course, is the worst actor amongst these three?
The worst type of skin cancer is melanoma. And I would hope that most people in the public would know what the signs of melanoma are. Our Academy of Dermatology has tried to publicize the four dangerous signs of melanoma. We call it them the ABCDs of melanoma. A meaning asymmetry. If a lesion has started to become asymmetrical and not your typical round-looking mole.
So let's go a little deeper into that. So by asymmetry, normally a mole is, with the visible naked eye, is completely round. Is that
correct?
True?
Yes, okay. That's correct. For most typical moles are round and either flat or slightly raised.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So asymmetry means there may be an indentation in this round mole.
Correct. Okay. Or it may, even though if it's flat, it may look like there's a notch at one of the borders. Mm-hmm. And if you fold it in half, if it doesn't completely align, then that's a worrisome sign.
Okay, so in your mind, if you felt folded in half,
correct,
it should completely overlap each other.
Absolutely,
each half.
Absolutely. We've had some moles that are triangular shaped or hourglass shaped, and they can be perfectly benign because they're symmetrical.
Uh-huh. So that's a very nice analogy to in your mind, folded in half, it should basically cover itself.
Yes, yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, so what would be the next sign to look for?
The next sign to look for is B, standing for border irregularity. Now, usually the edge of the mole should be very smooth, and if it's not round, at least it should be somewhat, unbroken without any squiggles on the side or scallops on the side. If it looks like there's a lot of activity going on around the edge instead of just a smooth line, then that is another worrisome sign.
Okay. So you could it be symmetrical and mm-hmm. still have this irregular border, which would be a concern?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And if it were symmetrical but yet still has slight notching or irregular scalloping, I would still consider biopsying it.
Okay. So basically, what we're saying here is have a very low index of suspicion of problems.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think the risk of a biopsy are far outweighed by the benefits gained by having a biopsy of a suspicious lesion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've gone over asymmetry, and you've talked about border irregularity. What would C be?
C would be color variation. Now, most moles are brown. They can be tan, they can be flesh color, they can be pink, or they can be red. The key is, Steve, if it looks homogeneous, if there's some variation in the color, or if there's several colors in the landscape of the lesion that you're looking at, then that would be an indication that something is abnormal, and I would get that biopsied.
Okay. So if there's like a speckling,
correct,
then mm-hmm. within a otherwise completely round, symmetrical mole or spot, with regular borders, if there's little like darker brown spots inside that otherwise normal-looking mole, that's still a potential concern.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we'll see kind of like like on a dart, you can see like a bullseye kind of pattern, mm-hmm. and sometimes they turn out to be perfectly benign. But you know, one can't tell with the naked eye, so I always recommend biopsying those lesions just mm-hmm. to make sure.
Good, and D.
D is diameter, and usually a good, measurement for people in the public would be if it's bigger than a pencil tip eraser or bigger than 6 millimeters, then I would get that looked at and biopsied. Most moles, which are benign, usually don't grow to be that size.
Okay, now we're spending a good amount of time on the ABCDs of melanoma. Why is that? Of course, we all know melanoma can be very aggressive, but what do we mean by saying melanoma is aggressive?
Well, melanoma sometimes is deemed the silent killer because it's not painful. And that's one of the dangers of skin cancer. It's not symptomatic. Although I would give you a pearl that if any mole starts to itch, that has been shown to be, number one, the earliest harbinger of malignant transformation to melanoma. So it could be just an irritated mole, but if something starts to itch, I always recommend that my patients come in to get it evaluated. And because it is a silent killer, I think that we as dermatologists do a lot to educate the public to catch these signs early on. It's fairly easy because it's not something that requires a CT scan or multiple x-rays. The patient can visualize this lesion and follow their moles every month. Mm-hmm. And of course, we recommend an annual skin exam by a dermatologist to perform to routinely look for any other lesions that may be abnormal. But in the long run, the patients are themselves the best experts because they know what the mole looks like every month, and they can detect the earliest signs of any color change, any size change, or any symptoms such as itching.
Okay. And there's some other questions I wanted to ask you, but before we go, how fast can a melanoma take someone's life?
The melanoma, it really depends on how deep it has invaded. We measure the depth of melanoma by the Brezzo depth, and we divide them into thin melanomas, intermediate melanomas, and thick melanomas.
The most aggressive melanomas, how fast can it metastasize and take someone's life?
It is. The thick melanomas have been known to be fatal. I've had patients succumb to metastasis within just a month, a couple months.
I only bring this up because I want to really put a spotlight on the essential, the crucial nature of following Dr. Len's advice for looking at your moles. This is fatal, but you may not have realized just how quickly a bad disease, a bad melanoma, can take your life. We will take a quick break, come back, answer your questions, and talk much, much more on skin cancer. 289-1860. Anywhere else outside of Hillsboro is 877-969-8600. Be right back.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Are you one of the many folks who suffer from dry eye? Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but dry eye is something you'll have to live with or nothing can be done for you? Well, don't stand for that answer anymore just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems. Go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you'll be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with the doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain and redness, plus begin targeted therapy right away. The Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, 3001 Swan Avenue in Tampa. Find them online at drmaskin.com. Haven't you waited long enough?
Mumbo jumbo that I just heard last. I want more understanding about
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back on Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. I'm Steve Maskin, and we're talking about skin cancer with my guest expert, Dr. Mary Len. And on the line is Norma from Apollo Beach. Norma, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thank you.
And you were at our event last year, our Focus on Females symposium last year.
Yes, I was, and I certainly became educated on what to do when you have something suspicious on your skin from that seminar.
Tell us about your story.
Well, I had a mole on my neck that I wasn't sure if it was changing or not. I thought it might be, but I wasn't sure. And I showed it to my adult kids, son and the daughter-in-law. Both of them are internal medicine physicians. One of them said, oh, it's nothing to worry about. And the other one said, if you're worried, go see a dermatologist. Well, I didn't want to spend the money to see a dermatologist because I hadn't met my deductible. And I preferred what my son said, which was, it's nothing to worry about. But then I attended the seminar, and I saw that there are so many different pictures of what moles can look like when they go bad, that there isn't one particular kind, and mine certainly didn't look like anything I was seeing. But the message over and over and over and over was, if you have something suspicious, it's only a dermatologist who can really diagnose it. And if you are worried, that if you don't get it biopsied, the potential risk is death. So I attended the seminar, and it motivated me to go see a dermatologist. I had a biopsy done and got a phone call back about 2 weeks later saying that that mole was melanoma and had to be surgically removed. So naturally, I went in the next day and had it removed.
So, and how are you doing now?
Oh, I'm doing great. It was, we caught it nice and early. It was stage one, so it came out clean.
Great.
And it's gone.
Would you like to say, you have with me today is Dr. Mary Len, who was the speaker last year's skin cancer seminar. Do you have any words for Dr. Len?
Well, thank you, Dr. Lynn, because you motivated me to save my life. I really appreciate you showing the slides and saying over and over and over again that if you have something suspicious, you must see a dermatologist. You can't just ignore it. I really appreciate that message.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Norma. You're quite welcome. I can't tell you how heartwarming and gratifying it is to hear that that us dermatologists are spreading the message and that people are listening and that, you know, to save a life is very, very gratifying. So I'm glad that you're doing well, and I'm glad that it was caught. I can't stress to you how important it is that it really is necessary to see a dermatologist, not just a general practitioner, because the dermatologists are trained to see these abnormal lesions and to look for any early signs. So I'm glad to hear your story had a very happy ending.
Well, it did, and on my six-month checkup, because I now go every 6 months for a checkup to the dermatologist to make sure everything is okay, my husband accompanied me, and he had a red dot on his forehead that hadn't gone away for a couple of months and showed it to the dermatologist while I was the one being examined, and the dermatologist said, hey, that's a precancerous squamous. It's got to come off.
That's
and treated my husband with some kind of acid that treated him.
Mm-hmm. Well, this
so
is,
I mean, it helped my husband too. Me being there helped my husband.
Yeah. Spread the word.
Well, this is a perfect example of how, number one, well, let's back up a little bit. Having saved a life is this a multiplier effect, and the impact one person has on so many other people, relatives, friends, coworkers, neighbors. And in addition to that, you're having been educated and spread the word to your spouse, and now they had the benefit of having a really advanced medical care too, early diagnosis and treatment. So this is the kind of health safety net that we're trying to accomplish, and I think certainly by virtue of your example and so many other examples out there, I think we're successful, but there's so much more to do. So it's great to have your story being shared with all the other listeners that are out there, and we thank you for sharing it with us.
Oh, thank you for giving me the motivation to do something about it. And I think that's what I really don't understand is I had read over and over again that if you think you have something changing on your skin, you should get it checked out. But I didn't act on it.
Well, you see how easy it is. But I think there's an important key here, how easy it is to talk yourself out of something, whether it be for a copay or whether because you just don't want to know bad news. And this happens all throughout medicine, Norma, all throughout medicine. You're not alone. It is the tendency to convince ourselves that there's nothing wrong, and all we're looking for, the individual is looking for confirmation that it's okay to not have it evaluated. It's okay to put it off. It's okay to go without, and which may or may not be the right answer. And again, only really the subspecialist knows. That subspecialist has been trained. Ultimately, when in doubt, follow through with a subspecialist, someone who you have faith and trust in, to make sure you're following the right course. Don't talk yourself out. You're intrinsic. Your gut. Follow your gut. Sometimes. Would you like, Mary? Would you like to add anything to that?
Well, yes. I'd like to segue upon your previous message about when in doubt. We have a saying in dermatology: when in doubt, cut it out. So we always biopsy things that are anywhere near suspicious.
Much easier to deal with that than potential missing a lethal disease.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, I certainly appreciate attending the Focus on Female and what it did for me.
You're joining us this year, Norma?
Pardon me?
Are you joining us this year?
Absolutely. Wouldn't miss it.
Great. We'll see you on
Saturday. I'm bringing girlfriends for my development.
Outstanding. Outstanding. The more the merrier. Thank you, Norma.
You're very welcome.
Okay. We'll see you Saturday.
Okay. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. On the line is Susan from Tampa. Susan, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thank you.
We are going to a quick break. We'll be right back, and we'll tackle Susan's question on skin cancer. Back in a flash.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments. Your choice for intelligent talk. Bennett, Gallagher, Prager, Medved, Hewitt. Talk Radio 860, WGUL.
With SRN News, I am Michael Harrington in Washington. A White House economic aide tells NBC the economy is fundamentally sound. Still, Christina Romer says she agrees with investment mogul Warren Buffett, who says the country's in the midst of an economic war, his word, to describe the nation's financial crisis. An advisor says President Barack Obama is opposed to taxing health insurance, but the head of his Council of Economic Advisors says the option is not totally off the table at this point. OPEC oil ministers say they'll continue current output levels but try to end overproduction by some cartel members. Today's decision means there'll be no cutbacks from December production levels. And authorities in Miami say a man shot four people to death at a family gathering early today, then went home and killed himself. A witness says he saw people fleeing the party and heard as many as two dozen shots fired. Police say the gunman may have been upset because his wife had left him. This is SRN News.
Does your credit card debt have you down? Are you afraid to answer the phone for fear of another threatening collections call? Is your marriage, your property, and your future at stake? If bankruptcy...
Your host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show.
At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. Dr. Maskin manages these dry eye disorders using innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has been successfully managing difficult dry eye cases for over 18 years and is board certified, fellowship trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and the American Academy of Ophthalmology. He's been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2008 and as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America. We hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please, visit drmaskin.com. And if you've not found relief for your painful red, dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back. Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We're talking about skin cancer, and on the line is Susan from Tampa. Susan, you're on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Good morning.
Good morning. And I understand you've been to Dr. Lynn before and have a question.
Yeah, I know of Dr. Lynn, and I just really wanted to get some expert advice because I have very fair skin, and I love to spend time out in the sun on the weekends, and I'm so confused about all these sunscreens out there. Do I use a 15? Do I use 30, 45? And I just wanted to get some good advice on what I should do, because it seems like I hear all kinds of different things.
You've come to the right place.
good.
Mary.
Well, we get this question quite a lot, Susan. I'm glad that you brought this to the attention of our public out there. Living in sunny Florida, I think, requires a little bit more diligence, if you will, than living in the northern climates, only because it's sunny here pretty much year-round. Now, if you were from the north, I would recommend wearing SPF 30. But since you're living in sunny Florida, or if you were in California, I would recommend SPF 50 and above. Now, they've come out with SPF as high as 100 recently. So if you want to go higher, that would be fine. I think that we have to take into account the fact that a lot of people don't have the opportunity to apply sunscreens every 2 hours as recommended. So for that matter, I think that it would behoove us to be more conservative and to wear a higher SPF in the beginning. And that being said, I really like the creams and the lotions.